You may be seated. Someone has once said, "Do not confuse motion with progress. A rocking horse keeps moving but doesn't make any progress." This really begs the question, though, what is real progress? How do we view spiritual progress in our relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How can we be faithful to the gospel in the midst of a culture which no longer claims allegiance to the Christian gospel? I raise this issue because the Apostle Paul speaks in this passage of Philippians 3 of pressing on toward the goal and the upward call, which is to know Jesus Christ more fully. Paul deals with how we are to make progress in this calling of knowing Christ, and he urges us also not to neglect what we have already learned from God's word and gospel. The Apostle Paul addresses how to make progress in knowing Christ while still maintaining and conserving the pattern of teaching and practice that we have already attained to. So the Apostle Paul makes 3 points in how we are to make progress in our relationship with Christ. First, in order to make progress in our relationship with Christ, we are told to follow the mindset of the gospel. Paul in Philippians 3, 13 and 14 speaks about the need not to forget. Well, actually, the need to forget what is behind you and press on toward this goal of knowing Christ. Forget what is behind, look ahead. Paul continues and has continued from the same theme as I preached from last week, Philippians 3, 10 and 11, where he says that we are to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and also in the fellowship of his sufferings. So I think it's right to interpret 3:14 about the upward call to know Christ as the call to know Christ more fully. Paul says in Philippians 3:15 and 16, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained." The word translated perfect in Philippians 3:15 ought to be understood in this context as those who are mature. So Paul is appealing to those who are mature to have this mindset. And in the case of those who are spiritually immature, the pathway to maturity will be to cultivate this mindset and attitude. And this mindset and attitude that he is speaking of here is one of perseverance. Forgetting what is behind, forgetting our past sins, and putting them under the blood of Christ. Just as Paul had to forget the times of his ignorance and the sin in which he persecuted the Christian church, so we have times of our past in which we have foolishly engaged in sin and we have been skeptical and not believing the Christian faith. To have a mindset, a right mindset about the past, we have to put all of that in the light of Christ's cross and his redeeming love and forgiveness. But Paul doesn't stop there. He not only tells us to forget what lies behind us, but what we are to reach forward to. And that lies in this goal of knowing Christ in a more full way as Lord and Savior. This entails what I said a couple weeks ago in serving God in the moment, right now, even in circumstances which are unpleasant and not very convenient. In order to make progress in our relationship with Christ, then, we must be firmly committed to this mindset, which the gospel requires in accepting what is past and pressing on to know Christ more fully. Secondly, in order to make progress in our relationship with Christ, we're told to follow the lifestyle of the gospel. For Paul, correct thinking must lead to correct living. The Apostle Paul urges us to shape our behavior to reflect the light of the gospel. He refers to the specific message of the gospel in verses 16 and 17, where he says, "Let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." The gospel message is referred to as a standard and a pattern. But let us also notice that Paul refers to those who live according to the gospel and to imitate their example. He mentions himself, but he also mentions other faithful believers who follow the gospel. The Philippians are to take note of these believers and imitate them. In making this point, he pinpoints the fact that we must be faithful to the gospel of Christ, especially since there are many who are opposed to the message of the cross. Paul speaks of the enemies of the gospel in these words in Philippians 3, 18 and 19. That they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. The opponents of the cross of Christ are those who disagree and oppose the message that Christ brought reconciliation between God and man through his atoning death. Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So an opponent of the cross of Christ denies that Jesus is the one, unique, and only Savior of the world, but instead claims that there are many pathways to heaven. The opponents of the gospel are also characterized by their lifestyle with these words, "whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." The phrase, "whose God is their appetite," refers to people overindulging their appetites, their sensual appetites, to the point of excess. Matthew Henry, a Bible commentator, says this, "Gluttons and drunkards make a god of their belly, and all their care is to please it and make provision for it." While gluttony and drunkenness aren't the only two illustrations of these sins connected to making a god of your belly, the Apostle Paul is speaking of not making an idol out of sinful, selfish desires. He also says that their glory is their shame. In other words, what they should be ashamed of, they boast and brag about. They are not only dominated by sinful desires, but they brag about these sinful desires, and they promote their sin in a very calloused fashion. They have lost their sense of moral responsibility. They call evil good and good evil. And as we see in our media today, our culture, movies, that sexual immorality, immodesty, and gratuitous violence are glorified. That's what makes things sell. Their glory is their shame. We need to avoid glorifying and boasting about what is sinful and shameful. The Apostle Paul tells us to take note of those who imitate the gospel and consistently follow God's word and gospel. But he also warns us of the type of examples that we should not follow. Third, in order to make progress in our relationship with Christ, we are to be motivated by the destiny of the gospel. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of a power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Paul tells us in this passage that, in effect, Christians here in this life are a colony of heaven. Our commonwealth is heaven. And we live for the future hope that we have in Christ. Our destiny is not death, but that of resurrection. Because Christ is almighty, and he has conquered death by his resurrection, even so we shall be raised by Christ at the last day. And so our common gospel destiny points to the new heavens and the new earth, in which all things shall be made new. And I mean all things. A new heavens and a new earth, a new resurrection body, a new community, the new Jerusalem. Everything will be made new. Since this hope is certain and sure, we need to live and be motivated and animated by this resurrection hope that we have in Christ. This gospel hope is that the last day God will bring in righteousness and true holiness with his kingdom. This ought to enliven, motivate, and energize us to live in submission and loyalty to our King, the Lord Jesus. We need to live lives which are renewed by the power of God. And so Paul has spoken of the sufferings of this life, including his own imprisonment. And in this verse, the humble state of our bodies, which will eventually suffer death. But Paul is also to point out that sin, death, and injustice do not have the final word. Christ's resurrection has the final word. And the reality of Christ's resurrection points to Christ's second coming. Let us recall earlier in this letter, Paul triumphantly proclaimed the reality that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Christ will exert his almighty power in subjecting all things to himself. This gospel hope helps us to make progress in our relationship with Christ in the here and now, so that we get on with the business and the calling of submitting to the Lord Jesus and begging him to change in us all that is out of accord with the gospel, that we may be changed into his character in our souls, and one day we will be in the likeness of his resurrection body as well. So let us be motivated by this call to have the mindset of the gospel, the lifestyle of the gospel, and the hope that we have of this gospel. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise and thanks for rescuing us and saving us from this present evil age. Shape us and guide us as your people. Help us to walk in the newness of resurrection life. These things we beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us stand together as we sing a closing hymn.